Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
These days, the devil is trying to take Bibles out of our churches, but then I encourage you to open your Bible. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. We're going to Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number 24. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number 24. How many of you are ready for God's word? You know you are ready for God's word. It didn't come for celebration. It didn't come just to sing, but you are ready for God's word. Can I have a witness? Say amen on that. Wow, thank God for the words on the screen. I want you to help me read together. Please, let's go. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserved unto us the appointed weeks of fast. Amen. Say the appointed weeks of harvest. Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word. This is just a prelude to what you have already declared over your church, that you always set certain days and weeks, months, to fulfill your purpose and to bring to pass your agenda in the lives of your people and also in your kingdom. We thank you for the 7 weeks of appointed harvest of souls that you have brought us in as a church. We pray that our heart will be prepared, our mind will be ready. We would be able to stand hand in hand with you and side by side with you, to be able to fulfill that which you desire us to fulfill. Spirit of God, we have come here this morning not to hear the voice of man, but we have come that you will speak your word unto us, the word that can change and transform. Beloved Father, I pray that let no man hear my voice as a man, Pastor Obed, but let them hear your voice. It is your voice that transforms. It's your voice that changes. It's your voice that keeps us going. Spirit of God, come magnify Jesus in our service this moment, and be thou exalted. Let me be blessed as well as I share your word in the name that is above every other name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I know you will help us. I know you will help us. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, and let your name be lifted. In Jesus, the blessed name, let a saint shout a big amen. Please be seated in the presence of God. Wow. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I believe this month God has spoken, and from the scriptures we read, God has brought us into a season of appointed weeks of harvest. I told you last week concerning men of Issachar. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 32, that understanding generates outstanding. A man of understanding is an outstanding man. Can I rewind and foreplay? Understanding generates outstanding. If a man wants to be outstanding, he must have understanding. It is understanding that generates outstanding results. Understanding is the variable that differentiates the results of believers in their engagement in the Word of God. Understanding is the variable that differentiates the results of believers in their engagement in the Word of God. Understanding is the variable that differentiates believers in their engagement in the Word of God, which means that the results of every believer is based on the level of their understanding. Understanding is what differentiates one believer from another. One who is making it in the kingdom and from another who is not making it. It's all because of understanding. Understanding is what positions you in outstandings. It brings you out and makes you to outstand among the lot. In Matthew chapter number 13, verses number 23, Jesus in his parable said that, "And this is the seed that fell on a good ground." The seed that fell on the good ground. He said that he is he that have what? Understanding. That heareth the word and understands it. He heareth the word and does what? Understands it. Which also beareth fruit and bringeth what? Forth. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So, why is it that the same seed but different results? It is the level of the understanding. He that receives the word or heareth the word and understands it. So the level of your risings in the kingdom, the ability to yield, increase, bear fruit is based on your understanding. Say, "My understanding." Hence, it is important for us to understand the times and the season in which God has brought us in, so that we will be able to maximize whatever God is delivering unto us. Is somebody here with me? Without understanding, you can't come into a place of maximizing the potential or the purpose of which God has brought you into that season. I've been telling you that every season comes with a purpose. And the season must not pass without you taking full delivery of that which God has purposed in that season. We understand from Ecclesiastes 3:1 says that there is time for everything. There is time. And everything is under a season according to the word of God. So, God says, have understanding of the season in which I have brought you in. We talked of men of Issachar. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 32, that these men were men of understanding. When one has understanding of the times, he gains upper hand over issues. When you have understanding of the time and the season in which you are, you gain what? Upper hand. You are in control. You take charge. You command. You command. And that was the description of men of Issachar. Because of their understanding, they were commanders. They commanded the whole tribe, the whole family of Israel. He said that, and the children of Issachar, which were men, that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were only 200. And all their brethren were at their command. Praise God. You must understand that the children of Israel knew not the times and the seasons they were in. So, most cases they were taken captive. Most cases the enemy would come, capture them, and plunder them of all their harvest, and then take them into captivity, and all kinds of atrocities were happening, all because they knew not the time nor the season. So they came under destruction and they came under suffering. But the Bible makes it clear that with understanding that the men of Issachar had, they were able to lead the way. With understanding, you will lead the way. At workplace, you will lead because you have understanding. Any man with understanding will lead your family. It was said of a story I heard that during 9/11 in the U.S. when the Twin Towers was attacked, and there were this great men, highly executive, people, more time billionaires, who had gone into the tower to have transactions. These were people who are holding our world when it comes to finances and things like that. And they were having a board meeting, something, and all of a sudden this issue happened. And when it happened, the whole atmosphere and the whole environment was in chaos. And they needed to find their way out of the building for rescue. So as they were maneuvering around at some portions of the building, then they met this guy who was a cleaner in the building. And when they met him, then he asked them, "You want a way out? Follow me." And you can imagine this big, more-time billionaires with their suitcases and with their suit and their tie leading a commoner, somebody who is just a cleaner at the place, showing them the way out. If you have understanding, you always have a way out. You will lead people. I said you will lead people. You can imagine, this is a person that under normal circumstance, nobody would actually take value of. All that they know is that the place is well kept, and then they come, they have their board meetings, they come organize their programs, and they go. But when it came to a critical moment, and it was a matter of life and death, these executives had to come out of the building, else in some few minutes, the building is collapsing. They just needed a commoner, somebody who was just a cleaner to lead them out. So this man, took them through some underground tunnels and said, "Lead me, follow me. I'm taking you all out." And eventually these executives came out. I pray that you would have understanding in all things. So that you can lead, number one, your life, lead others and people that comes your way. Not understanding the times and season can lead to destruction of one's life and destiny. Not understanding the times and season can lead to destruction of one's life. In Luke chapter 19, verse number 44. Luke chapter 19, verse number 44. And shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. These are all about destruction. Because thou knewest not the time of your visitation. When you don't have the understanding of your day of visitation, you are destroyed. You are destroyed. You see, the reason why many are not making it in life is not that they don't have the opportunities. The reason why many are failing and many are not moving as fast as they can move is that they are not able to identify the time in which they are in order to be able to take full advantage and delivery of the time. Every season is critical and every time is important. I quite remember when I had the opportunity to be on radio, it was just a split of a moment. I had to make a decision whether to go or not to go. And I thank God for the season in which God brought me in. It has been a massive blessing. Your amen is weak. So what time are we in? God is asking you, what time are we in? In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse number 19, I'm giving three different scriptures and I want you to take note. Yeah, let's write them first. Jeremiah 30, 19, Isaiah 61, verse 7, and Joel chapter 2, verse 25 to 27. Jeremiah 30, 19, Isaiah 61, verse 7, Joel chapter 2, verse 25 to 27. God is saying, what time are we in? Is somebody paying attention here? God. Let's take Jeremiah 30, 19. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. And I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. If the Bible belongs to you, underline the last part. And they shall not be few, and I will glorify them, and they shall not be small. Wow. The next scripture, Isaiah 61, verse number 7. It's very critical. He said that for your shame ye shall have double, and for your confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. I didn't hear amen on that. Joel chapter 2, verse number 25 to 27. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworms and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Verse 26. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall not be what? Ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall not be ashamed. Wow. Now, you must understand from the first scripture, Jeremiah 30, that God doesn't want his people to be few. Neither does he want his kingdom to be small. Is somebody here with me? In Isaiah 61, he has declared double for your shame. That means that it is shameful not to double. It is shameful to be few. And it is shameful to be small, according to the word of God. So he buttressed the point in Joel chapter number 2, the verse number 26 and then 27, that, and my people shall not be ashamed. What makes my people shameful is because they are few and they are hot, small. Because he said, for your shame, I will give you what? Double. Wherever there is shame, it means there is what? Lack. There is no plenty. Is somebody following me? Please pay attention. Is somebody understanding what I'm saying? Yes. So, what time is God bringing us in? God is bringing us in a season of multiplication. I didn't hear any amen on that. Come on, drop it. God is bringing his church into a season of what? Because he wants his church not to be ashamed. He said that out of their mouth shall proceed thanksgiving. And my people shall not be few. They shall not be few. They shall not be few. Out of their mouths shall proceed thanksgiving. So day in and out, day out, as we come in to bless God, as we come in to celebrate him, God expect us to grow. For your shame, I will give you double. I pray that God release double upon us. He says that he would give us double in order to take our shame away. May we receive double in this season in the name of Jesus. And as many that are participating and are coming into understanding of the season and the time, may God double your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive double. I said receive double in the name of Jesus. Seasons like this are not seasons of sleeping, but they are seasons of working. When you come into your season of multiplication, everybody pay attention. It is not a season of sleeping. It is not a season of what? Sleeping, but it is a season of working. Drop it for me. Every season that God brings a man to is not a season of sleeping, but it is a season of what? Working, working. God wants you to work in the season. There is no season of God that places people to sleep, but it brings them alive to receive from God. Genesis chapter number 28 verse 16. I'm giving three different scriptures right now to buttress my point here. Genesis chapter 28 verse 16. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place. You need understanding. Spiritual revelation to come into your season and know what to do. And know what to do. And know what to do. The Bible says that he awakened from his sleep. It could be a physical sleep, but spiritually, he came into his senses.
He realized that the environment in which he found himself was not just an any ordinary environment. This is a different atmosphere altogether. And for that matter, the Lord is here. The Lord is here. I pray that somebody come into your spiritual senses and break away from the natural and begin to discern that God has brought you into a season of multiplication in your own life and in the life of the church. Is somebody here with me? Yes. Jacob awoke out of the sleep and he came to himself. What had transpired earlier? He had an encounter in dream and in vision. And when he had placed his head on the rock, he was tired. Going on a journey and was tired. He got to the place and said, oh, let me rest. Sometimes we could do things by our own strength and by our own ability, but you get to a point in time in our life and you know that you can't do it anymore. You're fed up with all that you can. You have come to the wittest end, and all that you need to do is that let me rest. Let me at least halt and take some moment. The Bible says that he lay his head. He picked the stone and laid his head on the stone. Not knowing he was laying his head on the rock, who is Jesus. Oh, you can't place your head on the rock. Under normal circumstance, you can use a rock as a pillow. But when a man gets confused, he can do anything. But in your confusion, God will reveal himself to you. You know, sometimes your confusion can lead you to the right places. Is somebody here with me? So when he laid his head on the rock, then he entered into another realm. Then he saw a long ladder connecting from heaven to earth where he was. And he saw angels descending and ascending. And this guy said, wow, what a revelation. There are certain times that you have a dream and you wake up and you are beaming with smiles. You are so happy everywhere because you have seen something that is an indication of greater things to come in your life. I pray for your life. We are talking about a man who has struggled. He was on a sojourner, running away from his brother, going to a place that he didn't even know. But he encountered Jesus. I pray that may you encounter Jesus. May he reveal himself to you and bring you into your season of multiplication. Receive that in the name of Jesus. So the point here is that when you come into your season, you don't sleep, but you are awake and you work. You come into your waking moment and not your sleeping moment. Jacob was awake. I pray that everybody will be awake this morning. Only a few people responded. May you be awake in your spirit. Know the environment where God has brought you in and begin to put your hands on deck and work for God in the name of Jesus. It is not a sleeping season, but it is what? Proverbs chapter 10 verse 5. Proverbs 10 verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is what? A wise son. A wise son. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth what? Shame. Wow. God says, I'm bringing you into your harvest of multiplication. But then a wise person, somebody who is awake in his spirit, will start gathering. Because it is incumbent, you must, you see, you must understand that I mean, when you come to our part of the world, there are two major seasons, but other places there are four, sometimes even five. But you must understand that every season must fulfill a purpose in your life. There is a season where you must plant, and there's a season where you must what? Gather. Praise God. Is somebody here with me? But then the wise son, the Bible says that he gathers in summer. Summer is a harvest time. He gathers. He gathers. He gathers. He joined in and begin to do whatever is expected of him in that season. He doesn't fold his arms, because a time is going to come in another season where the harvest will no more be there. There is going to be much rain. It's going to be a sowing time. And whatever you gathered is what you are going to depend on. Tell somebody, be wise. Be wise. If our church fails to gather in the season that God has brought us in, beloved, I want you to know that seasons don't last. Seasons don't what? They are recyclical. Recyclical. They recycle. It goes and come. It goes and come. So when God brings you into a season and you fold your arms, it means that you are preparing for your shame in the next season. I didn't hear amen on that. That is why I want to encourage everybody here. God wants you to gather. Say, I will gather. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. Ephesians 5. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall be your light. I didn't hear amen on that. Just tap somebody and say, awake. What that shall do? Did you know there are some people, I don't know, I've forgotten the name, they refer them. They can be sitting there just like that, but they are sleeping. Well, what's the name? The doctor's here, help me. What's the name of such people? You can see their eyes will be on, but yet, no more call. Unless, hey, praise God. You see, you can feel you are alive. You can feel you are here, but spiritually, because you are not connected, you are sleeping. And this morning, the word of the Lord is speaking to you. This is not Pastor Obed's words. Awake. Tap another person and say, awake. Thou that sleepest, arise from your dead. You see, sleeping is likened to death. Because when you sleep, let somebody take a shot of you and compare the last cup you saw. Almost the same. There's no difference. Is somebody here with me? Yes. So, arise from your death. And what? And Christ shall give thee what? Life. Verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Anyone who is awake, your eyes, your spiritual senses are wide open. You know the season in which you find yourself. Therefore, you are not a fool. You are not fooled. You are not fooled. Not as fools, but as wise. Then he went on to say that redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Every wise son, every wise person doesn't waste time, especially in his season. Every wise person doesn't waste time. To redeem means to buy back. That is the original word. To buy back the time. Because time. time is running. Time is the most expensive commodity. Time doesn't wait for anyone. Time is not on your side. Time is not on your side. Today you look good. Tomorrow you'll be withering. Time. Give yourself 50 years. And every day we come to church, there will be an obituary on the wall. Time. If you have anything to do for God, this is the time. Don't sit down and think about yourself. Don't sit down and think about the things that need to be done in your life. But you must live for God and for His purpose. Redeeming the time. Church! We must not sit down and say that, oh, gradually the church will grow. Every growth comes as a result of definite and strategic what? Plan and development. When you leave things, they naturally don't grow. Things and church is one of them. Averagely, every church would be like this if nothing is done, and gradually it will fade off. The other day I was telling you there are churches that when we were young, they are no more in the system, and very soon most of the churches you see are going to fade out of the system, especially when the founders die. Why? Because the church was small and it was what? Few. So after 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, when those who started the church are all old and they are no more active, you realize that the church is what? Dying. I pray this will not happen to us. Is somebody here with me? Yes. That is why you and I must come to a place of redeeming the time. 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 Tap somebody and say, redeem the time. Because the days are evil. The days are evil. We are living in an evil day. Days where men, there are multitudes of people in the valley of decision. People are confused. We are living in a day where now the right thing has become wrong, and the wrong has become right. We are living in a day where people are accepting anything as a standard of life. We are living in a day where the world has become churchy, and the church has become worldly. Anything goes. We are living in an evil day. And this is the time the church of God must rise up and draw men unto God. Prepare people for heaven. Because time is not on our side. Very soon, Jesus is going to appear. Number one, will you make it when he appears? Number two, will the people around you, the people that must be saved, that you know that they are not saved, will they also make it to heaven? Tell somebody, redeem the time. Somebody is blessed. Being awake to the times and the season is what set the pace for great church growth. Being aware of the times and the season is what set the pace for church growth. For church growth. Somebody is blessed. I said somebody is blessed. Now, what is in this season for me? What is in this season for me? This is very important. What is in this season for me? Or what should I do? Pastor, God has brought us into a season for multiplication. But what is in this season for me to do? What is in this season for me to do? John chapter 15, verse number 16, Jesus said. John 15, 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go. Tell somebody, go. Ah, why are you sitting? Say, go. And bring forth what? Fruit. And that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, it shall be given unto you. So, what is in this season for you? In this season of multiplication, God expects you that he has chosen, you that he has called, to bear fruit, to bring forth. As a child of God, you are expected to bring forth, bear fruit, bring forth, bear fruit. Why? Because that is the divine order of multiplication. That is the divine order for increase. That is the divine order for church growth. Bring forth, bear fruit. Genesis chapter number 1, verse 24 and 25. When God created, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after their kind. And it was so. Tell somebody, and it was so. Oh, come on, say it with an attitude. And it was so. Oh, tap somebody who is not, paying attention that, and it was so. That means that whatever God did became what he said. So, in creation, God didn't have to create many bananas, but he created only one banana, and in that banana placed in a seed for other bananas to come out of it. God didn't have to create many oranges, but in orange, he placed in a seed, and in that seed will also come with many oranges. God didn't have to do multiples of things. But in everything that God created, he placed in the ability for that thing to replicate itself after its kind, so that there will be increase of that thing. I didn't hear your loudest amen on that. Verse 25. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind. So the first cattle that God made, it was one. And out of that cattle came many what? Cattle. The first goat God made wasn't and then God says, oh, you are all goats. From this day forward, these are the goats on earth. No, God created only what? Only what? Only what? And out of that made what? Many increased. Somebody's blessed. Somebody's blessed. So for everything to increase, everything to multiply, there is a divine order whereby God would sample size. Take one person. The other day, Wednesday, I was telling you that when God wanted to deal with the world, he had to choose a nation as a sample size. Is somebody here with me? When he wanted to deal with the nation, he chose a man as a sample size. So his dealing with the man would reflect his dealing with the nation. His dealing with the nation will reflect his dealing with the world. So when God wants to bless us, wants to increase us, he has first chosen you. And in you has placed a seed that he expects you to multiply, increase, so that wherever you find yourself, there shall be multiplication. The Bible says, and God blessed them. Male and female he blessed. Now listen, when God blessed them, then he went on to say that you shall increase, multiply. Are you understanding me? So the blessing is the seed that was given, but then the multiplication and the increase depended on the man. Is somebody understanding me? Is somebody here with me? Hallelujah. Multiplication. Tell somebody multiplication. Oh, that is weak for somebody. Say multiplication. Which means that you are expected to give birth to something which is just like yourself. You are expected to give birth to somebody who is like you. Because everything God created, he created to also bring forth after his kind. After his kind. So I must have Pastor Obed's kind. We must have Mr. Santi's kind. We must have Edward Watch's kind. We must have Mr. Mensah's kind. Edward Pepper's kind. That's of my miss kind. Everybody must be able to produce after what? Your kind. And when we are producing after our kind, that is when there is what? Multiplication. And there is what? Increase. Is somebody here? You are not. Is somebody here? Wow. So what am I saying? God wants to use you to minister to your kind. Because you are the one who can easily relate to that particular category of person or people. It is very easy. The other day I was giving an example at the midweek service that it's easier for a teacher to convince a teacher to join us in church. It is easier for a lawyer to convince his colleague lawyer to be here. It is easier to convince people of your same age, your classmates, your former mates, your schoolmates, people you have on WhatsApp groups. Or it is very easier because you have certain things in what? In common. They can look at your life and see the transformation and the change. And for that reason, you can easily win them. It is very easier. That is where the multiplication works. So anybody who is seated here, God says that he has chosen you to bear fruit. To bear fruit. To have something of your kind. I did a sample exercise like me. We just did a small research on Wednesday. And those who were there, we realized that only few of them had been able to even at least invite somebody to church. But some had been in the church for many years. And you ask yourself, why is the church not growing? It's because you have failed in your duty to bear fruit and to multiply. I knew I wasn't going to get amen on that. Oh, I knew it. Don't fake it. Don't fake it. I knew you are not going to say it. But I still need to say it anyway. There are people who would respond to you because of the commonness, like your age type or your age group, your sex, what you do, your profession, the language you speak, and social class. Praise God. Now, what does it mean to bear fruit, Pastor? You've been talking about multiplication. You've been talking about fruitfulness. What does it mean to bear fruit? Now, let's go to how Paul explained the bearing of fruit. Let's go. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. Quickly. 1 Corinthians 4, 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 15. Is somebody following me? If you are following me, shout a big amen. If you are not following, say, Pastor, end it here. Amen. Now, this is Paul saying, for though we have 10,000 instructions. Are you sure I'm giving you the right scripture? No?
1 Corinthians 4:15. Good.
For though we have 10,000 instructions in Christ, yet have ye not many what? Fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have what? In Christ Jesus, I have what? Through the gospel. It is believed that Paul never married.
And there was nowhere we heard of Paul having a son or a daughter or having a child. It means that Paul didn't have
biological children. But yet he says that for in Christ I have what? Begotten. Christomu enama womo. How? It means that those that came to Christ through Paul was, these were people of his fruit. People that he has begotten through what? The gospel.
Is somebody following me?
Yes. By leading people to Christ through the gospel, you are giving birth to them spiritually. When you invite somebody to church, the person loves the atmosphere and love the service and begin to love God and serve God, you have begotten the person spiritually. That person has become your fruit. That person has become your fruit. That person has become your fruit. That person has become what? Your fruit. So Paul said, I bear. All of you in Christ Jesus through the gospel.
So God expects you to bear fruit.
How? By winning souls, bringing people after your kind, making them stable, not just bringing them to come and visit us and go, but following them up with calls, visitation, making sure that they are established in the house of God. Now you can boldly say that this are my children that I bring forth, I brought forth through the gospel. Hallelujah. I pray that that will be your testimony. Like Paul, that will be your testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
In other words, Paul is trying to tell us that when we fail to bring forth as children or as believers, we become trees without fruit. We become trees without fruit. We become trees without fruit. And it's so sad that almost everywhere in Scripture, any tree that is fruitless or doesn't bear, Jesus said, we should cut it off and then what? Burn. The ones that bear fruit, he said we should prune. In Mark chapter number 4, we saw an encounter where Jesus was personally hungry. On his way, he saw this tree with leaves. And according to the history of fig tree, when they have leaves, it means they have fruit. This particular fig tree, in the season in which it finds itself, was having leaves. Jesus saw it afar and said, I think there will be fruit on it. For the first time, I want to believe Jesus was very hungry, so he couldn't discern. Or maybe he wanted to use it as a lesson. Let's not go into that. Let's not belabor that aspect of it. Because he was a son of God and he's supposed to know everything. Am I right? Good. But then he got there and the tree that was presenting itself to carry fruit,
he got there and everything was what? Empty, fruitless.
Say, how disappointing. You present yourself as somebody with fruit, but yet you have no fruit. may no one be able to eat from you again. And according to Mark's rendition, instanter, the fruit died from its roots. It was the following day when they were passing by. Then Peter saw that, sir, the tree you cursed is withered. Now, what point am I driving at? I want to suggest to you that you are seated nicely proclaiming and professing that you are a child of God. The whole world wants to know that, oh, you are a Christian. What is your fruit to show? What is your fruit to show? You wake up dressed nicely, seated right here, beaming with smiles and thanksgiving. What is your fruit? You are presenting yourself that let the world come and see who you are, and the fact that you are the Christian or the child of God. But if Jesus will come to your life and ask you, where is your fruit? Don't look anywhere, look at me. I pray that we will not be accursed. I pray so. Somebody is blessed. Now, fast track or fast forwarding. I want to give you one reason why we should bear fruit. One reason. Then I bring everything to a close. One reason why we should bear fruit. One reason. Tell somebody one reason. One. Amen. The reason why you and I must bear fruit is to prove that we are real Christians. We are not fake. Add 15 minutes. The reason why you and I must bear fruit is to prove that we are not fake Christians. We are not fake. Now, anything that has that is genuine has its what? Counterfeit. There are many fake Christians. There are many sitting in churches who profess to be Lord, 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 Lord. But they are fake. They are all? Why? Are you one of them? Then say it louder. They are hot. Is to truly say that I am truly born again. The reason why you must bear fruit is to prove that you are truly born again. You are not a fake born again. You are truly. Church is not a fashion to you. It is not a fashion. It is not a tradition. But church is the gathering of truly born again people. Are you born again? Your fruit bearing proof that you are real. Say, I am real. I am real. Somebody is blessed. Can you imagine a woman with a male organ? These days they are. What's the name they call them? Come again? Afro what? Huh? They call them see me. Oh no, there's a particular name for that. Hermaphrodite. Is that not so? Yes. That's when they have both. That is hermaphrodite. But hey, and if somebody, maybe everything looks like a female, but then she has a male organ. She male. God, this is where our world is getting to. May God have mercy on us. You know all this? I don't know. Praise God. But the point I'm trying to emphasize here this morning is that for somebody to present herself as a female but carry a male organ is a fake person. for somebody to present himself as a man but carry a female organ is what? If you profess to be a child of God but not do what God expects of you, you are hot. Matthew chapter 7 verse 20. Wherefore by their fruit ye shall what? Know them. So we are able to distinguish between a genuine Christian from who? A fake one. By what? Oh, come on. You just said it. By what? By what? By what? So if you don't have a fruit to show, then answer it. Who are you? All of you. Elders especially. Pastors, the so-called. Members. Church members. The only way Jesus, not Pastor Obed, can know that you are real and a genuine child of God is when you are fruitful. By their fruit. Don't ever think it's talking about character alone. Fruit is a fruit. Don't give me Greek and Hebrew renditions. Fruit is what? And God, Jesus said we should go and bear fruit. Bring forth. Is somebody here with me? Yes. By their fruit. Sebastian, by their fruit. By their fruit. It means by your fruit. By your fruit. Ever since you became a child of God, what is your fruit? Who has you brought as your fruit? Pastor, this is my spiritual son. This is the person I have begotten, like Paul said. This is somebody that I have been able to bring to church to show that I am what? A real Christian. I'm not fake. I pray that there will not be fake Christians in this church. Your amen is sick. It's a prayer, therefore receive it. Refuse to be fake. Say, I refuse to be fake. Hallelujah. 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 People come to church with all kinds of reasons. Without to know God. And they fail or they fall away easily because they are not what they claim to be. By reason of prayer line, I've come to believe and I've come to see many types of Christians. I'm telling you. There are some, you only see them when they are ready to go for the embassy. And they will come with a story, Pastor, I've been praying with you all this while. Oh, boy. Somebody told you, there's a pastor on Love FM. I mean, let him pray for you before you go. So you just come with the idea, Pastor, I've been praying with you. When you profeder, which means a program, no cry, we need time idea, no. All because he wants you to what? Pray for him. They will show up and cut the glory services. Say, Pastor, you know, my son is going to write an exam. He was there because their son is going to do what? Is somebody here? I pray that you're seated here should not be based on a personal, particular reason of a need. But it should be based on the fact that you want to know Jesus and know him more. Oh, you better clap unto Jesus. Because in knowing Jesus, every need is met. Jesus is all that you need to have all your needs met. When Jesus was alive, he never prayed for any need because he was the fulfilling and the satisfaction of every need. The other day, Apostle opened my understanding. He said that, look, nowhere in the Gospels did we find, that there was anyone barren after Jesus was born. Before Jesus, we knew of Elizabeth and Zachariah. But when Jesus was born, through to the New Testament, the Acts of the Apostles, even right now, nowhere was it recorded that there was a barren woman. Because by virtue of the birth of Jesus, all women became fruitful. And there was no one to be barren. I don't know your need. I don't know what you desire. But if you are here, don't let your need drive you. Is somebody here with me? Yes. Come for prayer line. Come for Catch the Glory CTGs. Come for breakthrough night and all that. Yes, we pray concerning needs and all that. Yes. But that is not our focus. Is somebody here with me? You are the church. For them, they can come and pray all kinds of prayer and go. But those who want to stay and know Jesus, you come to Truth Encounter services like this and we preach the word of God to you. Is somebody here with me? Don't let your need drive you. I told somebody the other day that when you are driven by the love for money, if you base every action of your life on money, if you don't, pastor, I can give you whatever, but who this can do anymore? You will never go anywhere. I didn't hear amen on that one too. I'm not expecting it. Put your hands together for Jesus. Is somebody here with me? So, let me tell you this, that if something good has really happened in your life, you will joyfully go about telling others. That is all about Christianity. What change has taken place in your life? At least you have life. At least you have peace of God and peace with God. If there is no testimony, maybe God hasn't done anything for you to testify about the goodness of the Lord. Look at your present situation. You are better than someone. And that alone is a testimony. So you're telling me, you don't know what to tell people, Pastor. Check yourself. What has God done for you? What change have you seen in your life ever since you gave your life to Jesus? That should be your motivation and your driving force in bearing fruit. You want to tell me that ever since you stepped foot into this church, God hasn't done anything for you? You haven't received any blessing? There hasn't been any change? So that is the reason why you can't tell people to know what God has done in your life. Let's be real and stop faking. Tell somebody, be real. Be real. We have been playing church all this while. Church has become a tradition. God wants you to bear fruit. God wants you to bear fruit to prove that you are hot. 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 No. Somebody is not saying something. To prove that you are hot. Wow. If the only Christianity you practice is by going to church on Sundays, then I'm afraid to inform you that there is more to it than that. Do you know that unbelievers also attend church on Sundays? So your coming to church alone doesn't make you a Christian. Is somebody here with me? It goes beyond that. Wow. I have 2 minutes. Church membership does not prove you are a genuine Christian. Write that one for me. To be joined to a church doesn't make you are a genuine heart. Joining membership of the church. Oh, Pastor, Mitrian Tutusodudu. My name is in the book. Pastor, go and check. My name is what? In the book. Doesn't make you hot. Doesn't make you. Wow. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be what? Reprobates. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. I love this scripture because to examine yourself place you in a situation where you don't condemn yourself, but you reevaluate yourself to know whether it's well when it comes to your spirituality. Somebody is blessed. Now, I'm giving you two rewards of fruitfulness. When you are bearing fruit, what do you stand to gain? Or what do you stand to benefit? Psalm 102 verse 13 to 15. Psalm 102 verse 13 to 15. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come. Say, my set time of favor. Verse 14. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust what thereof. Give me 15. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy what? Thy glory. Verse 14 says that thy servant pleasure in her stone. What does it mean? It means that thy servant does what God requires of him. And he began by saying that I will favor you, for your set time of favor is now. Anyone who begins to do what God expects him to do position himself in the realm of what? Favor. Favor. Bearing fruit brings favor. Say divine favor. That is one. John 15:2. The second one, John 15:2. What are the benefits or the rewards? John 15:2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges, that it may what? Bring forth what? More fruit. So, divine preservation. When you are bearing fruit, you are preserved. Your life is preserved. Your business is preserved. Your family is preserved. When you are winning souls, you are preserved. I pray that the Lord preserve you. Your amen is we. I pray for divine preservation. Be on your feet this morning. Come on, be on your feet. Oh, you are not clapping for Pastor Robert. If the word of God has been a blessing, you want to clap unto him. Hallelujah. How many of you need the favor of God upon your life? How many of you need your life to be preserved? When we respond to the word of God, God also responds to us.
The reason why I've been speaking for an hour and quarter is that God wants to bless you. The multiplicity we are praying for in our church is not necessarily a church thing, but it's an individual thing. Because you can't live the season without you being affected by the season. Come on, drop that comment for me. No, you can't come to a season and live without you being affected or impacted by the season. So it's an individual thing. How many of you wants to be multiplied in your life? You want increase in your life. The increase of the kingdom of God is your increase. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all other things shall be what? Added unto us. You're looking for breakthroughs in marriages, breakthroughs in jobs, breakthroughs in all kinds of areas of your life. But here you have neglected God and his work. And you still expect. That's why our prayers have become so plenty. That's why we pray much, but we hear we have little to show. This morning the Lord is speaking to you. He wants you to multiply. He wants you to bring forth. You have come to your season. The Bible said, I have spoken what is right unto you. Be a man of Issachar, a man of understanding. Be a man who is taking full delivery of what God has brought you in. Lift up your hands and say, Lord, I thank you for my season of multiplication. Come on, open your mouth and thank the Lord. Come on, thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Come on, thank the Lord. Randa bashada baka bahaba. Lebelebelebele babo shandara bala bala baha. Come on, lift up your voice and thank the Lord. Lebelebedesh. I want to hear the church. Open your mouth. Kando bo shada bala ba. Rebelebelebele bo shandara bala bala baha. Kantali mara bala bala ba shote belebede. Resanta katana bala bale anara bala bala ba. Resanta bo shada baha. You want to lift up your hands and say, Father, let not this season pass without my blessing. Let not this season pass without my blessing. Let not this season pass without my favor. Let not this season pass. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray to God that, Father, let me take full delivery of everything that you have for me this season. Let me take full delivery. Therefore, give me the grace to bear fruit. Open your mouth. Father, give me the grace. I will desire to be fruitful. I 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 desire to be fruitful. Open your mouth. Come on. Can I hear everybody? Lift up your voice in prayer. I desire to be fruitful. Oh, look at the way you are praying. Don't be a fake Christian. Don't be fake. Don't be fake. Don't be fake. Don't be fake. Open your mouth and be real. Stop playing church. Stop playing church. Lift up your voice. Lantore rebo shada balaba. Lebarararabasha. Lord, give me the grace to be fruitful. I want to be an agent of increase. Pray, Father, make me an agent of multiplication. Make me an agent of increase. Make me an agent of multiplication. Father, give me the grace. In the name of Jesus. The Bible said that out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and merriness, and they shall not be filled, neither shall they be small. Father, make your church to be great. Impact the spirit and the grace of increase. Come on, let me hear your voice. He said, for their shame, I will give them double. For their shame, I will give them double. You want to pray that, Father, double your church. Father, double your church in numbers. Father, double your church in numbers. Clap your hands and begin to pray. Father, double your church in numbers. Father, double your church in numbers.
Father, stop by our church in heaven. In the name of Jesus, he said, and my people shall not be ashamed. My people shall not be ashamed. My people shall not be ashamed. Lift up your voice. Open your mouth. Let me hear your voice. Come on. Run. Come on, lift up your voice and begin to pray. Father, take shame away from your church. We want to be real. We want to be real.
We trust that you've been blessed with the word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.